Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and with me is Sherry Lowry, who is sharing her 20-plus years of knowledge on what it takes to build your business once. Now, on today's show, we're talking about giving and receiving referrals and testimonials. Now, Sherry, I've been on the receiving end and the giving end of both of these, and it feels good both ways. You know, sometimes you think only if you receive something does it feel good, but I am ever so happy to give referrals and also to give testimonials, and it's just a great feeling to be on both sides of the equation.
Yes, it is. And I think it takes a little while to be in business in order to feel really comfortable with both if you don't already naturally do that. Unfortunately, the people that feel the most comfortable with the asking part of that do not very often, in my experience and in the research experience and reports, they're not as generous with making referrals, and they're not as generous with providing real sincere testimonials than they expect to get back. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that reciprocity factor today. We're going to talk a little bit about statistics and what the research says in terms of outcomes and results for people who do receive and give referrals, and people who also are very willing to give testimonials and who most often, more often, receive them back. There is kind of a quid pro quid in both of those. Where the gap is that, and this I have not been able to firm this up currently, like past 2015 in the research, but the fact is that most people are disappointed, if they're disappointed, in the referral part of the of their business, because no more than 10% of the population, and more commonly 5% and under of the population, ever make a referral. And that's really disappointing. And it's also a little bit undercover, because the people who do tend to make up the difference in that gap, or that kind of shortcoming or real paucity, you know, not enough of referring happening. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that today. But I know a good part of your business has all along in San Antonio, and particularly, you know, with your base there, that I have found San Antonio to be, just by nature as a city, quite reciprocal. I find Austin that way. I found Houston less so. And you've had experiences in Houston and in San Antonio, probably most recently in San Antonio. But have you noticed a difference in the culture of cities impacting anything about the topic of referral and testimonial?
I'll say yes, and it isn't necessarily because it's mostly from people from other cities coming to San Antonio and seeing our community and being so surprised at how we're a collaborative community and how we really have this co-opetition kind of a thing. We're not in competition, because we believe in abundance. There's more than enough business. You're going to attract your own flavor. You and I can do the same thing, but you're going to attract people that are your flavor, and I'm going to attract people that are my flavor, and it's going to be just fine. And so we don't have to have these secretive walls per se, and we can be very collaborative. And that really opens up the doors to referrals and testimonials and that open and generous nature of it. But I have heard people come in from outside of San Antonio and just kind of be very surprised by how we operate down here. And I think it's a Texas thing. And I agree with Houston. Houston's a little less so, but by the same token, Houston's also, man, that place is huge. In San Antonio, you can almost know everybody. You know, you really can almost know everyone here, but not in Houston. That place is just too big. And I think that, and the faster paced lifestyle, might lend itself to being less giving in reference to referrals and testimonials. Whereas, you know, San Antonio, you know, and Austin are a little bit more slower paced. We've got our fast pace, but it's a different kind.
Yeah. I don't know if this is still true of Houston. I was born and raised there, and I didn't leave there till 2002, and I'd been in business a long time before that there. But I discovered when I came into this industry and was writing more and online was beginning to be much more capable in terms of extending opportunities to us. I was also speaking some, and I discovered accidentally that by simply because I wanted to do some speaking and had not been doing that because my work had been mostly out, not in Houston, so I hadn't been doing that much speaking locally. I'd been doing a little bit more nationally or at conferences across North America. But I discovered that Houston has an expectation. We were very open-armed, very welcoming of newcomers, but we fully anticipated within about 6 months of hanging out together and, you know, networking together, meeting and crossing paths at different points in time. We fully expected the newcomers to get on board and become part of the welcoming committee. And if they didn't do that and start giving back and start contributing and start bridging other people to what they had learned as a newcomer about Houston, we quickly, although there was no official way of documenting this, they just started getting much less of our attention. I did not realize we had an embedded expectation. Yes, we want you here. Let us help you. And then how are you going to give back was almost, you know, the next paragraph, though it wasn't in writing. And I had not found, I don't think San Antonio carries that element in the culture. I know Austin does not. Austin just gets busy and goes on with the next crop because we have like 20 to 25 people a day moving here. So we don't have time to do a long extended welcome here because we've got new ones coming on. But yeah, I share some of your experience of San Antonio. And even when I lived in Houston, my business bases in Texas were actually San Antonio, Austin, and Fort Worth, interestingly enough. And those three particular Texas cities. And I think those three cities have a little more in common than some of the other cities do. Well, for getting on with today, I wanted to kind of drop back and just talk a little bit about how I'm thinking of referral, and that's for what's said for the rest of today as well. I'm thinking of it, and this is totally my own definition, as a confident act of connection, an implied recommendation for a quite specific purpose between either two individuals or an individual and an entity or a firm and a firm. So it can be B2B or B2C or vice versa for any of those. In my mind, when I make a referral, I'm building a bridge for very specific purposes. They're best made when I have a direct experience, either in person or through a virtual, ongoing, you know, to some extent, extended virtual connection and set of interactions. And I know both why I am doing it. I want to know both the best way to do that for the other person. My particular bridge building, and this is in making referrals, is if I would not do business with the person myself because I simply don't have the need, you know, that they could help me address, or the want or whatever, I would need to be willing to bring other people to them for that because I've seen some kind of demonstration usually of the outcome of the result of their work if I haven't had an experience of it directly or if I wouldn't necessarily contract with them or hire them directly, you know, for myself. And I have really specific ways I do that, and I go to a greater extent with it than most people do, and it's sometimes a surprise to people. But I literally want to make a personalized set of whys, provide why this is happening, why I'm choosing to do this, and what I see personally the connection between the two of them best could be. Like I made a referral yesterday, started on Facebook, it ended up with a three-way email. A friend here, a colleague here, put on Facebook that she was she had a friend who was wanting to buy a classic Airstream, a car, a road trip car, and she had a car, but she wanted the Airstream trailer. And a friend and a former client of mine and her husband here are actually building a vintage trailer, Central Texas location for events and celebrations and weddings and anniversaries, because that's how they love to celebrate their own, and they've just learned a lot about the trailer industry. So that started on Facebook, and I said I'd be glad to do a personal introduction to you guys, the whoever it is looking for the Airstream, and this couple, because they know more than anybody I know about vintage trailers, and that their specialty is not Airstream, but they cross paths directly with those people. And so that email went out last night. And I'm sure that something good would come of that. I've also done bridge building for referral purposes in three-way phone conversations where I connect to the person who I'm wanting to make the referral for. I dial, and having her or him on the line, I dial the person we're going to make the referral to. I do a direct introduction that way by phone conversation, just as if we're, meeting in person, if we can't do it personally, or if it's just not time permitting to do that, even if we're in the right same city. I include having done that by voicemail, where I'm connected live to the person I'm going to refer. We catch the other entity's voicemail, and together we leave the message, me of introducing a person I have on the phone with me and why, giving them a chance to say hello and to, say whatever the next step would be for them, and leaving the contact information for the person that I'm calling with. And I found that incredibly helpful. And I started it because the majority of the time, formally, before I moved to Austin and after until about 2010, the vast majority of my clients were not local. I traveled to them or they traveled to me. And in the case of that particular voicemail referral, that person was Texas local, but not Austin based. So it all worked out, and they actually drove to Houston to individually and met there and did end up working together. So most often a referral for me is going to be an informed and suggested source of expertise, having that involved to connect another to directly. So I don't know what your standards are for making referrals, Jennifer, but I'm really interested in how you came to that conclusion.
Well, it's really interesting that you mentioned that your latest referral began on Facebook, because I have to say that is becoming an increasing way to shortcut and to ensure that folks receive communication, since, everybody's pretty much there on the daily and all the time. So it's becoming that area where you can create an inbox message and add those people together and kind of explain who they are to one another and why you're connecting them, and then let them go take it from there. And once they start communicating, I will remove myself from the conversation. But I also used email. Sometimes folks would prefer an email. I ask, do you want an inbox? I will typically give them the option. Would you like a Facebook inbox intro or would you like an email intro? Most folks are fine with Facebook, but some want email, and I will, send the email out to them both and introduce one another and why they're together, and that let them, and here's one person's contact information, here's another person's contact information, and I walk away from it. Sometimes people do the reply all, and at some point they can.
Right, yeah.
by themselves and I'm out of the loop, which is fine. But it has become a way to do that outside of the inbox. If we're looking at just the wall and someone's like, I'm looking for, you know, so-and-so service, you know, product, service. Do you know anybody who does this? I'll jump in there if I do have someone and give the referral and then tag that person or that company. So they also get notified of that. And so it's kind of become a shortcut and made it really easier to give referrals.
That's right. Yeah. And then for testimonials, to me, that is a bit of a more formal statement. And the whole point of testimonial is, to me, is testifying to someone's character or expertise or other types of qualifications. So in its own way, it is a recommendation. It's also possibly a reference. Some people might call it a blurb, a compliment, a public tribute, and ideally it again is by someone who has had direct experience or the outcome or results of someone's work. And to me, the supreme form of testimonial, and you will probably be able to get something. It's not called that the way this one is delivered, but it's a type of, it's formally called an endorsement. And I bet you can remember something in your background, Jennifer, that you will never, ever forget just about verbatim that has been said to you at one point by an esteemed and treasured person, and it may go back to a teacher of some kind. But endorsements are things people can say to you that are based on fact of their experience with you or of you, that is so true to the bone, it is so insightful that they're commenting, you know, on this out loud to you or in writing, and they're educational for you. They're very often something that surprises you that you did not know they thought about you or had experienced with you. I don't know if you can think of any of those experiences in your lifetime, but when you have one, you will probably never forget it. And I bet you we could come up with some examples. Does any of that ring a bell for you?
It really does. And I agree with you that testimonials are a little bit more challenging to, it takes, if someone's going to give, if I'm going to give someone a testimonial, it's not a quick Facebook introduction. It is not. I am kind of stopping the presses for a moment to focus in on that one person and really think about our interactions together and what their highlights were, how they helped me succeed in whatever project we were working on, so that other folks who might want to work with them in a project very similar or whatever their strengths are. And so it is something that's going to take some focus. And I will say that it is more challenging for me to give those and also to receive those. And not that we don't have, there's not a lot more people I should be giving testimonials to, and not that folks haven't told me to my face that I really need to write you a LinkedIn testimonial because of this thing that we did together. And I'm like, sure, that sounds great. But whether that happens or not really has to do with time. And so I really like to hear, and I agree with you. Yes, I've received some testimonials that were out of the blue, that were so surprising to me and kind of took me aback. I have people who walk up to me and tell me stuff that they saw me doing this, for, as an example, to give you an example, a few years ago, I was doing this health, fitness, beauty quest, and I went on a health kick, and I went and started riding my bike, and I actually did a bike tour, attempted to do a bike tour from San Diego, California to San Augustine, Florida. My two sons went with me to create a documentary, and so they were filming, and my youngest son was ill at the time, and we didn't know why. We thought it was altitude sickness. Turns out when we got to Deming, New Mexico, it had gotten so bad that I knew I needed to cancel the tour. So we came home, and long story short, he had a brain tumor, but he's perfectly fine. He's great. Everything's
right. Yeah, I remember all of that. That was really, really something. I remember when you
came
home.
So what happened was that I was at an event maybe about 6 months or more ago. I've actually been to two events. So there was an event like a year and a half ago and one 6 months ago, and it's two different people. But they both had a very similar story about watching me get on this health kick. And they said, you inspired me to get on a bike. One person, the one from a year and a half ago, said, "You inspired me to get on a bike." And my kids wanted to get on a bike too. And then my husband came. She goes, "Now, as a family, we go cycling. It's our thing now." And I wanted to thank you for that, because we would never have started that if it hadn't been for you. And so things like that come your way, and you're like, "Whoa, I was not expecting that at all." And I had a second case 6 months ago where it was somewhat similar to that. And those things surprise you. But what you're doing, if you're doing it in a public space like we are, it's people are watching and they're taking note, and you may be inspiring them in ways that you never know. So sometimes those testimonials aren't written, but they are right at your face, and they have a deep impact in that way.
Right. And in terms of capturing that, one of the approaches to being able to document testimonials, a lot of people are more verbal. They do find it easier to say to you what their experience is being. And I have begun to form the practice, because so many of people now, we're busy, you know, we have a lot going on. The written space is not always the verbal person's choice. And so when I begin to have an experience directly of a person providing a testimonial, either for me or for another, I will ask, "May I take notes?" And almost always, and there's laughter usually, and almost always they would say, "Yes, of course," you know. And then after they're done, and we have had the kind of some closure and we're going on to the next step or whatever, in the conversation, I ask them, "Can I read this back to you? I want to make sure that I've captured what it is you really wanted to convey." And I've written it verbatim, and they're really pleased to hear that back. And it is then that you can get permission to use that kind of testimonial and just give it to your web person, if that's not you, and, you know, and have them put it up. You have the person's permission there. And then in terms of the customary protocol, the most powerful testimonials, for example, are going to be at least with first and last initial, if not full name. Ideally, their country or city, and I like to put sometime, if their business is relevant, I like to put just a tiny little touch of the business industry that they're in. So there is identification up to a point that is credible without disclosing the whole name, unless the person automatically elects. In my case, all of my people who have given me testimonials were pleased to, you know, to put their name. And like, for example, one of my longtime clients, who's now a colleague and a confab person, and I really value her input, is a masterful therapist in New York. And when she finished her testimonial, which is basically two long sentences, I put her first and last name, her degree, and her company name, which is Vitality and Relationships, New York City, New York, USA. And so she's fully identified. And what she said is, "I've known Sherry for more than 10 years as coach, mentor, and friend, have the highest regard for her as a professional and as a human being. I cherish her knowledge and talents, her way of relating, mentoring, and just being herself. Her wisdom and love are always part of my life, and I unconditionally recommend her to anyone wanting to go on a life journey, personally or professionally." And when Roberta told me what she wanted to write, and was that too personal, I said, "No, I didn't know that was your experience." And to that extent, I knew the gist of it, because our friendship is really solid. But I'm totally 100% comfortable referring to her for people who are seeking resources in New York. And I've had people fly in, you know, to meet with her. She has been through a lot of life transitions, does amazing work as a therapist, but she's also an ongoing learner, continuous learner. And so our relationship is very genuine, and that's reflected, you know, in what she had to say there. But I have learned so much through the testimonials about influence and impact on people that I truly did not know I had. So But I don't want to go completely overboard on our time, and I'm sure we're going to have questions come up, and so possibly we can put a forum together where we can address some of this in the future in more detail and apply it to other people, Jennifer.
Yeah, most definitely. I really liked what you said about asking someone if you can write that down, because I think most of the time when it comes to me in a face-to-face version, I'm more surprised than anything else. And also, you know, pleasantly surprised, you know, just kind of like, whoa, I, it takes me a moment to really digest the moment that's happening, because I'm not expecting it. And so I like the idea of being able to say, pause and say, do you mind if I write that down? Because then that'll kind of, as you said, give permission for me to use that in a way that lets other folks know how working with me and or, you know, being within my realm of influence can be beneficial. So I think that's a great tip for all of us, because we all know that testimonials are a little bit more of a challenge to give and receive than referrals. And I think this call right here has motivated. I'm on LinkedIn right now, actually, and I thought I need to go give some recommendations over there on LinkedIn. You've inspired me to get
I want to sneak this in before we close. I found that there are a couple of places that have some pretty good ideas about this written up out there for us. One is Annex Cloud, A-N-N-E-X Cloud. I'll document this in our resources. One, as is not a surprise, is Nielsen, N-I-E-L-S-E-N. They're the people who do all the research about who's listening to what and who's watching what, you know, on TV and that kind of thing. McKinsey, McKinsey Consulting, has a lot of good words to say about word of mouth statistics and their research, which is pretty surprising. So does WOMMA, W-O-M-M-A, Word of Mouth Marketing Association. They have amazing research, and they produce a lot of statistics. Boston Consulting does this also. Something I was not familiar with and only discovered in preparing for this is an entity called Market Force, F-O-R-C-E, and Wharton School of Business has some very helpful statistics out there. But the bottom line is referred clients generate 3 to 5 times higher conversion rates of success in client work than any other type of channel, and that the lifetime value of a referral is 16% higher than your average customer. It just goes on and on with it. One of the most surprising ones was 81% of online consumers and make their purchase decisions based on being influenced by their friends' social media posts, but only from trusted sources, versus 81% versus 78% that might be influenced by familiar brands to them or social media by those brands directly. So the WOMMA thing, the word of mouth, you know, marketing kind of thing is something to study if you're into this. But there are lots of other statistics out there, including 92% of consumers do trust referrals from people they know and respect, and not otherwise. So, I mean, just anybody recommending something like on Nextdoor or Facebook is not going to be enough. They have to have trust in them already. So there's lots more out there, though. Thank you for the time, Jennifer.
Yeah, you know what? It makes a lot of sense, though, that we would be a trusted source that would generate more revenue. So if you become that trusted source, it can be a great benefit to you and your business. And it seems like the more that you give, the more that you receive. And that's really that collaborative economy and that collaborative business environment.
Yes, that's good. Well, I'll talk to you next time, and we're going to have a surprise topic based on our own conversation of what we think the next natural step is.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.